Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. And if you've been listening already, we're especially glad that you decided to hang around with us and stay with us a little bit longer. You're going to be glad you did because we have one of the world's top experts on email with us right now. And of course, she's been with us many times in the past. She's shared many of her pearls. She's cast many of her pearls before us over the years. It's Christina Cavanaugh, ladies and gentlemen. She's the author of Managing Your Email, and as you know, she's a very smart lady, especially when it comes to technology and using this wonderful tool that we love to hate. Christina, welcome back to the show.
Oh, my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. We love to hate this email thing, don't we?
Oh, we do. I saw an article in the Globe and Mail just on the weekend talking about email addiction and the 12 steps for getting out of it.
So instead of AA, we got EE. We have EE, I guess.
EA.
EA, okay, that's what we got to have. The 12 steps. That's pretty funny.
I never heard anything so ridiculous, but there are.
I like email. I don't think of email as, I'm not addicted to my email. I don't think I am. Now, I will say that if I'm at my desk and I'm working, I do keep my email client up. I use Eudora, by the way. Mm-hmm. I keep my email up, and I watch it. And if an email comes in, because there are things during the day, there are various projects that I'm working on that I'm waiting to hear back from someone. No, the same way that I would be waiting on a phone call in the old days, or maybe even now. So I keep it up and I check it. But I don't. The reason I say I don't think I have an email addiction is because my BlackBerry isn't a CrackBerry. Mm-hmm. I don't have to check email every single second like I do see some people doing.
Yeah, and that's the addiction part, and that was certainly cited in this article very clearly, that when people don't manage email and they let the device manage them, then you have a problem. Mm-hmm. And then you wonder why it's taking you all this extra time to get work done, because you can't get any of your other tasks done if you're always, if the doorbell's always ringing, you can't get the housework done.
Well, or if you're always waiting on the doorbell to ring, or if you're hovering over the phone ready to pick it up any second, the second it rings, then you're not getting anything done. And so it's a wonderful tool, but we love to hate it, don't we? And it's a great tool for us. We use it very extensively for as many people do. I have a hard time understanding. I actually run into people from time to time, Christina, who don't use email.
Oh, that's a treat.
I just don't know. I don't admire people like that. That doesn't make me admire them. Because, I mean, to me, that's like saying they don't use a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't have an address or whatever.
Or they don't have a website, because anybody who doesn't have a website, it just isn't in business.
They really are missing a big... I was just talking about that earlier, Christine, in the previous half hour. I was talking about how the internet and our websites have become the great educator of especially business people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're exactly right. If you don't have a website, then you're basically out of business in that great marketplace in cyberspace. And
sure.
So you're out of business when customers when prospects want to find what they need and what they want. If you're not there, it's like you're boarded up your building.
Yeah, well, that's right. They can't find you, for sure.
And, of course, then the way they reach out to you is by email, mm-hmm. right?
Yep, they make an initial contact for sure.
If they either by, they could call you if you leave the phone there, phone number there, but oftentimes, you know, oftentimes, Christina, and this is something that that we've learned with our other experts on the show, is that there's this great thing called e-shopping, which people do at night, many times at midnight, or they're on the other side of the planet when you're working, and when you're sleeping, they're up shopping, and so they can't call you, but they can email you, can't they?
Well, that's right, and hopefully they're not e-shopping while they're on the company clock, because that does happen, too.
Well, that happens, doesn't it?
It does. It's not that prevalent, so I don't think employers need to worry, but it's always good to sort of, you know, check or keep your, you know, ear attuned for, you know, excessive Internet use.
Well, but, you know, employees, they get breaks. They get lunch hours. They could bring a sandwich, and most employers don't mind. But the point is when they do the shopping, they may not want or have time to pick up the phone and call the company, but they could send them an email and say, "Hey, do you have this in my size, or whatever it might be, or do you have that new putter in yet?" You know, that's the question that I might be asking. Anyway, stand by. We're going to talk some more about some of the issues of using email effectively with the expert, Christina Cavanaugh, ladies and gentlemen. She's the author of Managing Your email.
The faster we run, the further away the dreams that we chase become. Lost in the sun, spinning and turning, blind in the burning light.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Christina Cavanaugh. We're talking about email, using it to your advantage. How can you make sure you use it? Whenever you have a website, Christina, you need to make sure that your email is easy for people to find, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do. It can't be hidden somewhere. Oftentimes people have it like contact us, and that's okay too. You know,
every
site has that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's good to have a phone number just in case.
Yep. If you want people to buy from you, they ought to be able to pick up the phone and call. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So Christina, how do we, in the 21st century, 2007, how do we use email the most effectively in our own, you know, not just as an inbound thing, but inbound and outbound, you know, how do we use it effectively? How do we deal with the productive emails, the good emails, and the bad emails, the spam? How do we deal with all that?
Oh, you want me to tell you that in 2 minutes?
Exactly. Actually, 90 seconds.
Well, okay. I think the important thing is to take that sort of strategic view on being able to sort the good from the bad, because we're going to have bad emails. We're going to have spam. And so I never waste time with spam. I just get rid of it or get my filters up.
You get to the point where you can see if whatever your filter hasn't caught, get to where you can see it, don't you?
That's right. So, you know, just get that part over with, because we're not going to be able to get rid of that. And what we talked about earlier, which is this idea of making email work for you. So you decide when you're going to go for an email and when you're going to work with it, whether you're going to work with it in blocks of time, or whether, just like you said earlier, if you're waiting on an email and it flashes up, then you're going, okay, great, so I can interrupt my task just like a phone call and get to the email. To me, that's part of productive management. One of the things that I was just doing a recent poll with some people, and you know, they had complained to me, like their number one complaint actually, or dislike, was the fact that they felt that email made them far too accessible. So I think that we still have to be careful about the nice-to-know emails that we send, because as you said, everybody needs to have an email, but just because they do, we have to be, I think, much more judicious about what we choose to send to people, even if it's in the legitimate course of business. This idea of, you know, going back and forth with short burst emails that are like phone calls,
yeah,
sometimes can be extremely annoying.
Well, but also can be helpful. I mean, I don't mind if somebody shoots me back a note and they say, "Got it," or yes. or I'll call you then or whatever. I think that's very handy, very appropriate. It's almost like it's a version of instant messaging without having to be on IM. But
right.
the ones that I don't like, the ones that annoy me, are when somebody is responding to Joe and they hit reply to all and everybody, and then you and I are sentenced maybe to this exchange between these two people for the next 2 hours, when really it only affects them. Why are they replying to all? I don't care about that. That annoys me.
Yeah. Oh, it annoys many, many
people. So what should I do, though? Should I email them and say, "Hey, guys, how about you sending this to each other?" I mean, you don't want to appear rude or grumpy, but after a while, it just gets old.
Yeah. Well, I would. I mean, because I don't think people realize, sometimes I don't think people realize that they're pressing reply to all, or some people press reply to all purposely because they think that everybody else wants to be included in the conversation.
They think what they're saying is so cool, everybody must want to hear this.
Well, or it's got some context for business that people want to see it. So, yeah, you got to tell these culprits and just say, "Stop it." There's no other nice way to do it.
Well, and it's because it just becomes spam after that, doesn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, it is. I mean, because you can tell when you see your inbox fill up. If you walked away and come back an hour later, and you'd see in your inbox a dozen messages with
right.
the same subject line. There's
mm-hmm.
another problem. The same subject line.
Right.
They can't be talking about exactly the same thing. They should be trying to alter the subject line as well.
Speaking of subject lines, could our innocent, well-meaning subject lines be contributing to our email getting caught in the spam filter?
Yeah. Definitely. All the more reason to be creating unique subject lines. But these days, there's so much spam going on. Like, for instance, I had a situation in my own office recently where somebody said had a subject line of seeking employment, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
seeking employment assistance. That went immediately into spam. And it also happened to come from a Hotmail address, a domain, so
right.
that doubly. But I find that, some of these more common types of subject lines are finding their way into spam filters. Or when people send a forward, when they're actually forwarding you a document from another email, oftentimes spam filters pick that up.
Hmm.
So I think we need to be careful about our subject lines, making sure that they're unique and discreet, and they're not just sort of, commonplace.
You talked about Hotmail. Do Hotmail and AOL and those kind of generic domains, are they red flags for spam filters?
They are, unfortunately. Hotmail, Yahoo, AOL.
That's the reason why I recommend that people have their own domain names for their email.
Yeah.
Everybody should have that, shouldn't they?
Well, they should or have a different type of provider. But the common providers, what's in common with them is they give email service for free. So I think a lot of people use it for that.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Christina about some other kind of spam that I don't understand. I'm trying to figure this out, and we'll get her to help us with it right after these messages. It's 10 Till. Stay with us.
I am the one.
American family.
We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Christina Cavanaugh. And she's the author of Managing Your Email. Christina, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
It's www.christinacavanaugh, all one word, christinacavanaugh.com.
And no U in Cavanaugh, by the way, folks.
Yeah, no U in Cavanaugh.
Just A's.
Just the A's. And books available Amazon.com and at Barnes & Noble.
Check it out when you get a chance. Christina Cavanaugh. Chris, one of the things that I don't understand about spam. I mean, I don't like spam, and I have this little fantasy, Christina, that I'm going to be on the 50 yard outline of a huge stadium. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be like 125,000 people in the stands. And in the middle of the field, I've got staked out a spammer. I've got him staked out. He can't go anywhere. And I've got a PA, you know, a mic on me with a PA to the PA system, and I'm going to say, "Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a spammer." Then I'm going to run like heck and get off the field.
I like the visuals on that.
You know, and I know, folks, I know that this is really, you know, macabre for me to say that, but you know, can you just imagine? That guy would be torn limb from limb. You know, I just like to get. We all would like to get our hands on a spammer. You know, but here's the thing. I understand the commercial angle for spam that actually does offer to sell something.
E-marketing.
I don't like it, but yeah. You and I do e-marketing. That's opt-in marketing. That's what I call e-marketing. I don't consider spamming e-marketing, but I do see the commercial angle. The part that I don't get, Christina, are the emails, the spam that I get in that I can't even read. It's not even stuff that's readable. It's not in any kind of language. What is that?
Well,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen those. And those are whereas you talked about e-marketing and things like that, those are just messages that are sent out on purpose because those are the dark side of spammers. So they're just wanting, their only goal is to take a bunch of gibberish and you know,
clog up the system?
Yeah, clog up the system, harvest, you know, like look at all the emails that they harvested through their nets and just send the stuff out. So it's more malicious type of spam.
Okay, well, so that's their goal, is just literally maliciousness. No commercial angle.
No, zero commercial angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the unfortunate sort of side that we now have to live with email.
And some spam now is in a graphic. It's a written word, but it's in a graphic so that the spam filters have a harder time picking it up, don't they?
Yeah, so we're coming up with new devices for ways to sort of, especially if you're signing on to something and they want to know whether you are a real person or not, then mm-hmm. you have to read this graphic or you have to type in this graphic to be able to go to the next level. So we're trying to think of ways to sort of get around spam, and our spam filters actually are operating pretty well. So in the workplace as well. So
my spam filter catches about. It catches about 75% of the spam,
mm-hmm.
and leaves about 25 in my inbox. I'm going to say, and maybe 20%. But it also catches, I'm going to say, about 5% of my good email.
Yeah, and what I do there is, I recommend to people that they take time once or twice a day to go through their junk email folder. Because all the spam that's been filtered usually ends up in a junk email folder on your desktop. And I run through those very quickly just to sort of look for a legitimate name. And then when you click on that, usually if you highlight it, then there's a menu item at the top that says not junk. And if you press that, then it'll automatically go back to your box.
Well, the other thing I do is I throw away all the junk email into trash, but I don't empty my trash for about 3 or 4 days, because that way, in case I've accidentally thrown something away that wasn't supposed to be thrown away, it'll usually surface in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So you still got the fallback there. Hey, Christina,
well,
give us your website one more time.
It's www.christinacavanaugh.com.
Thank you, Christina. The book is called Managing Your Email. Thank you for your information and your attention and to us today, Christina. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you, never let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.